Today in our scriptures, we hear an awful lot about defilement. Jesus and the Pharisees in our gospel are at odds with each other as far as who it is that, or what it is rather, that makes a person defiled, that defiles a person. And in our second reading, James tells us and defines what makes religion pure and undefiled before God. Now, sadly, we are all too aware of things in the news about what the kinds of things that make religion impure and defiled. And we are perhaps angry at the moral failure of some of our leaders, and we have a right to be so. Because this is our Catholic Church. This is our Catholic faith. And no one should be defiling it, least of all those whom we look to for leadership. So we have a right and a responsibility to hold our leaders accountable and to work for reform. But the Word of God tells us today that in our righteous zeal, we must be very careful that we obey our own individual call to be pure and undefiled before God. Jesus warns us today about our human hearts. Now, biblically speaking, the heart is the center of the person and the source of every decision which manifests itself through deeds. And Jesus gets explicit about the vices that lurk in the human heart. Vices which can defile any one of us. So let's hear what he says about that again. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man." So, who among us is free from all of those things? Is there anyone here among us who is not guilty of some of them? Well, if that is the case, and it is, then we are directed towards our first reading that exhorts us to obey the law of God, to keep God's commandments. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is talking about the law of Moses, given by God on Mount Sinai. And when Jesus, God's very word become flesh, came, he also went up on a mountain by the Sea of Galilee, and he taught the definitive law and commandments from his heavenly Father in the Sermon on the Mount, which can be found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And in Jesus' new law, he tells us that those are blessed, that is, those are under the favor of God, who are poor in spirit, who are nonviolent, who are merciful, who are pure in heart. And that means that there's nothing in one's heart that gets between them and God. He tells us to hunger and thirst to be righteous. That's pretty intense language. To hunger and thirst to be righteous. And he tells us to proactively make peace. He commands us to forgive and to seek reconciliation and to love our enemies. and to live simple lives, trusting in the Father's providence, and so much more. In our second reading, James tells us that what makes for pure and undefiled religion is in part performing the corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, for example. Now, in our first reading, we are given two reasons why we should obey God's law, why we should keep His commandments, instead of just being told, do it, I order you to do it. Because God knows, God gave us brains, and so He appeals to our reason. So we get two reasons in our first reading why we should obey the law of God. And one of them has to do with considering who is the God who gives us these laws. And the first reading exclaims, what great nation has its gods as near as our God is to us whenever we call to Him? So this God who gives us His law and tells us to keep His commandments is not some remote potentate sitting on His distant throne issuing out edicts. But rather, this is a God who is so near to us in ways that the writers of the book of Deuteronomy had no idea, so near to us as to share our humanity through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who is so near to us to even die for us on the cross, all because He loves us. And so the law that God gives us, these commandments, are given out of love because God wants our happiness and our well-being. Those commandments are given for our good. We can see from His Sermon on the Mount that because most of it hasn't been done, what a mess we've been in for 2,000 years. That has made us unhappy. So God gives us His law for our happiness. As James says in our second reading, Jesus has implanted His word within our hearts to save our souls. That's why He does it. So James says, humbly welcome that word, that law of God, those commandments of Christ. The second reason why we ought to obey the law of God is what our first reading says, when it says that everyone who hears of all these statutes of God will say, this great nation who follows them is truly a wise and intelligent people. Yes, Jesus is the way of wisdom. He is wisdom incarnate. All of His words convey God's wisdom. Now, James also says that in our second reading, that what makes for pure and undefiled religion is in part keeping oneself unstained from the world. And what he means is that worldly wisdom, which is not wise at all, because it arises from our human hearts, which can be defiled. And so we should not trust ourselves, but rather look to Christ for His wisdom and place ourselves in obedience to it. Because if we routinely make our decisions excluding the Lord, but relying on our own worldly wisdom, then, as Jesus says in the gospel, we pay Him lip service, but our hearts are far from Him, and our religion is vain and empty. So Jesus gives us His law because He loves us and because it is the way of wisdom. So let us keep our gaze focused on Jesus, not on ourselves and what we think. Let us keep His law, adding nothing to it and taking nothing from it, but keeping His commandments and putting them into practice. Amen.
Amen. Amen.